Bertie Gregory has always enjoyed taking photos of wildlife. He was selected as one of the UK's top wildlife photographers under 20 and has been named a National Geographic Young Explorer. And he's in the Valley to speak at the Mesa Arts Center tonight as part of the National Geographic Live series. And Bertie, it sounds like there hasn't really been a time in your life when you haven't been taking photos of animals. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's totally right. I remember when I was growing up, everyone at high school thought I was a bit of a freak. Because in any moment of spare time, I'd kind of rush out of whatever I was doing, friends' birthday parties, school class, sports practice, whatever, and go and try and sneak up on the animals that were near to where I lived. I just couldn't get enough, totally obsessed.
What is it about photographing wildlife that so appeals to you?
I think the reason that photographing, when I was growing up, I realized was so powerful was because on the one hand, it was a great way of explaining to my family where on earth I'd been, because I was sneaking off as a 13, 14-year-old, and that's pretty weird. But the second reason was also that I realized how excited you could get other people about the things I'd seen. And I found that pretty cool to, there was something I was so passionate about. Using photography, using video was a great way of getting other people excited about what I was excited about. And I thought that was, pretty cool.
So traditionally, when you see like video of wildlife photographers, you see these people sort of dressed in khaki, laying on the ground or hiding behind something, talking very, very quietly about what they're about to see. Is that kind of what a shoot is like for you?
It depends. With filming wildlife, generally you want to be close and you want to be filming natural behavior. And there's two ways of doing that. One is, as you said, the kind of, I think, the romantic idea that everyone has about filming wildlife, where you're, staked out in a blind for weeks on end. And we definitely do that with very elusive, shy animals. But the other thing that we do is we try and, with some animals, try and habituate them to our presence. So they know that you're there and you're just spending so much time with them that they accept you as part of the environment. And that's really the best way, because then all your encounters are on their terms. They know you're there, they're chilled, and they just go about their lives.
Are there certain types of animals where that's easier to do than others, where they're more accepting of humans being there?
Yeah, 100%. One of the best places to film certain wildlife is actually around cities or in parks where they're used to seeing people, because people have essentially done the hard work for you. They've done that habituation process, which can take ages and ages. And as you say, with different animals, it takes different amounts of time. So with certain animals, like really small birds, you can habituate them pretty quickly to you hanging around, whereas something like a mountain lion, a big predator, is often more difficult to do that with.
I would think it's also slightly more dangerous to try to do that with, right? Like if they turn out they don't like you, that's a problem for you.
That's true to an extent. And a question I get asked a lot is, what's the most dangerous encounter, wildlife encounter you've ever had? And it's 100% always with people. They are
really?
The most dangerous species on the planet. Yeah. Anytime I've been in trouble on a shoot, it's because people have done something stupid, basically. Wild animals like mountain lions or whatever, yes, they have the potential to be dangerous, but 99 times out of 100, you've got to be pretty unlucky to not have put yourself or have someone else put you in a dangerous situation.
Now, you have been all over the place shooting wildlife. Is there a place that, in your mind anyway, was particularly cool, or a place you were super excited to get to and you got there and it was everything you hoped it would be?
I was lucky enough to kind of fulfill a bit of a dream last year for National Geographic when I filmed on the island of South Georgia. Now, this little island is nothing to do with the US state or the Eastern European country. It's actually a British overseas territory. It's a tiny little island, about 100 miles long, 20 miles wide, right at the bottom of the South Atlantic Ocean. And it's part of Antarctica. And it is something out of a dream or a movie or whatever, because we took 6 days to sail there in a little 50-foot sailboat, and then did a lot of vomiting in buckets. And then at the end of that 6 or 7 day sail, these kind of giant 9,000-foot snow-capped mountains kind of appeared out of the mist, and they come vertically up out of the water. And then if that wasn't epic enough, the island is then covered by one of the highest concentrations of wildlife on the planet. So there's millions of penguins and fur seals and all kinds of seabirds. It's a pretty special place.
Do you find that when you're in a remote place like that, you do your job a little differently than in places where, even if it's not in a park where, you know, animals are used to having people around all the time, where animals have encountered people before?
Well, the funny thing about South Georgia, and one of the reasons that it's so special, is because all of the animals have evolved on the island away from any terrestrial, you know, land-based predators. And that means they have zero fear of people. And so, you know, we were talking about there's two ways of sneaking up on animals. One is to use a blind or to do it on their terms. And because they have no fear of people, you can do it on their terms. So instead of using a big, long zoom lens and being 100, 200 feet away, I can be 10 feet away. And that means you can get really, really intimate with them and get a bit wider so you can see the amazing landscape that they live in.
When you're taking photographs or when you're taking a video, are you trying to consciously teach the viewers about what it is that you're shooting there and doing it in a way that will sort of help them learn something specific about the types of animals you're seeing?
Yeah, totally. I think we have a responsibility when we're making wildlife films to, obviously we want to get people excited about wildlife, but yeah, you've got a responsibility to, you know, educate and kind of, it's all well and good showing these animals in this Garden of Eden, but we don't live in a Garden of Eden. You know, we humans are doing really terrible things to wildlife around the world. So it's important that we bring those things up. I mean, I've found that you have to make films primarily entertaining. That's the first and foremost most important thing, because if you don't, and you mention the dreaded C word, you know, conservation, you immediately switch off so many, you know, so much of your viewers, and you're just kind of preaching to the choir. So I found, yes, you've got to make it primarily entertaining, but once you've gripped the viewer, then you've got to kind of, you know, drip feed their subconscious with the important stuff, you know, the threats that these animals face and what we can do as individuals, you know, 10,000 miles away to help this penguin or bobcat or whatever the animal is.
All right. That's wildlife filmmaker and photographer Birdie Gregory. He'll be at the Mesa Art Center tonight as part of the National Geographic Live series. Birdie, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much.